Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run, and we have a very special edition today. We're joined again by Robert Duncan O'Finian. Robert, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Very well. We've had Robert on a few shows here in the past. Just for the people that may not have heard of you, I think an interesting way of introducing you is Robert is has been a part, or I guess in a lot of ways is maybe a lot like the real life Jason Bourne. I'm sure you've been categorized as that before in some of these interviews, I'm sure.
Yeah, a couple of times I have.
But I do think it is appropriate, and I think it's good that in one way that movie has been so popular, because it does make it easy for people to recognize. It's basically a CIA mind controlled assassin in a way, as a former, let's say, control. And I go, and would it be a bad characterization to say it was strictly CIA or just rogue elements within the system, or how would you characterize it?
God, you know, it could actually be both. There are more than one rogue element in the CIA, and each one runs their own independent projects. So one project can actually be a cousin of another without either one realizing the other exists for a period of time. But the CIA started it all in this country, and then they broke away from there, especially after 1982 when the CIA split in half.
Yeah, it definitely seems like one of the projects that you, the initial project, Project Talent, which was geared towards finding children with special abilities, that seems like that was, could be a part of a number of very nefarious groups that necessarily wouldn't be a part of this government. You know, one of the major differences between you and the Jason Bourne character and the Bourne Identity and so on is that... in that movie, it at least in the last one, it tries to characterize it as that this is something that soldiers choose to do, a program that they choose to be a part of, to basically wipe their memories and be this programmed assassin, when in reality it's not that way. It at least in your case and other cases that you know of, this is done to small children and who are basically tortured to, in what's called trauma-based mind control, to create these assassins. And for that reason is why you have decided to come forward and basically expose the ones who created you. Is that appropriate?
That's very, very appropriate. That's all correct. I didn't have a choice in any of this, and neither did any of the other children that were thrown into it. We were taken as kids. Some were taken, some were sold, some were just given away. In my case, it was a generational thing. My father was involved in the CIA, and we were taken, and as you said, trauma-based, tortured to the point to where our personalities were split. And the split-off personality was then conditioned and triggered, and that's the personality that went through all the training. And one of the things that I have been noticing, we'll just clear something up right now, is people saying, well, why don't I just go out and prove this and do this and do that? Well, I can't, all of it, okay? It's the other personality that was the one that was trained, not me, okay? That's a little hard for some people to understand. And it took me a while to sit down and figure it out, and I had to go through a lot of bull sessions with a lot of people for this to really sink into me that I'm actually two people. Okay, the alternate personality was the one that went through all of the military training, all of the assassination-type training, and went out on the various jobs that it went out on. Not me, myself, personality-wise, body-wise. Yeah, am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm still, you know, there are times when I sit down and I have a hard time grasping it all in myself. You know, because here I am playing with my kids one day, and then I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, you know, in an alternate personality, I've gone out and done all these really nasty things. And there are days when that's really hard to deal with. That's basically, you know, was it in a nutshell. And not all the kids that were taken into Project Talent were made into Ultimate Warriors, which is something else I'll say right now. The Ultimate Warrior program was just that program, of which I was only one of. There were many of us. So when someone goes out and tries to say that, oh, Duncan O'Fannin claims to be the Ultimate Warrior, no. I was only one of many.
Right.
Okay. Some of the kids were turned into psychic spies, okay? From what I understand, I wasn't suited for that. I was more suited to be a soldier, okay, to be a physical warrior, and that's what they turned me into.
Right, and you go into a lot of detail on that, and in a few, the first interview we did here, and certainly the Project Camelot interview that people can find on Google Video and Project Camelot site, and a lot of that goes through there. You know, something I think it's probably good to hit is you were never really intended to get your memories back. Most people in your position that go through these things, depending not just the mind-controlled assassins, but anybody that's been through the trauma-based mind control, never really gets their memories back in full and struggles with it their entire life. What helped you to remember, and are you still going through that process?
I'm still remembering, and I'm still going through the process, and actually, from an early age, from the time I was 19 to 20 in there, I knew something wasn't right. I just didn't know what. Okay. But about 12 years ago now, I was in an automobile accident that, under much thought and in retrospect, we have determined that it wasn't really an accident. It was a staged accident. I suffered 5 herniated discs in my neck. And all of the muscle and tendon inside the neck were ripped and torn, and I was told after that I would never be much of anything physically. So what happened is when I finally got stuck into an MRI machine, the electromagnetic of the MRI meshed with the implant, the cranial implant, and caused all kinds of havoc. And at that moment, all these memories came flooding back. Everything that I thought was just a nightmare, I knew was actually a memory. And it was like seeing 1,000 TV screens rushing forward, just coming at you all at once. And on each TV screen was a picture. Well, each picture was a total separate memory. And that's how I started getting my memories back. It was just all at once. Nothing gradual. Everything just slammed me at once. And I came out of there screaming and trying to fight my way out of the room. And it was nasty. It was really nasty.
Since now in the past few years, has anything more developed, like since the Project Camelot interview or any of the interviews we've done, has anything else come out? Like I know the David Corso thing, that was all good confirmation, and anything did that help spark any other very key elements to this?
It did. I had, for several years, I had constantly had memories of being in South America in the jungles and whatnot, and none of it really made any sense. And then I got confirmation a couple months ago that the CIA actually does have several bases in the jungles of South and Central America. And some of these memories are of being there protecting bases, and some are, a couple of them are direct assassinations that we won't get into for obvious reasons. Every memory that I have, I try to find some tangible proof of, either by a retired military, someone who is active military, some way, somehow. I try to find proof of it before I even mention it. Okay, it goes down in my diary, of course, but I try to find, as I said before, I don't really speak about anything unless I have at least twofold the proof for it. Either someone else's testimony, documentation of some kind, something, before I will ever mention it on a radio show or anything.
That's one of the reasons, is because they do, in the nature of the programming, is that they also can program memories that didn't happen in order to throw off a lot of things. There's other reasons, I'm sure, too.
That's correct. They do. That's one of the fail-safe mechanisms that they have. If you start to remember an event that took place, you may get the same memory in three or four different versions. So you don't know which one is the truth. So you have to go out and look for the truth. You have to look to find the answer.
Another thing that seems interesting, what you just said, when you start to remember, there's a lot of programming to create almost false physical problems. I know that you've mentioned that you have headaches that come when you start to talk about this, start to remember
right.
different things. And I've talked to people that have had serious sickness, like a upset stomach kind of thing.
Right.
And some people are told that they would go crazy, and they have programming to go crazy, and all this Omega programming, I guess they call it.
Yeah, it is. I get the migraines. Sometimes it's a sick migraine. I usually get a nosebleed with it. What people need to understand is that doing these interviews, even though I love sitting here talking to you, I can talk to you all night long. You're one of the few that I can do that with. But they're very unpleasant. It takes a very short period of time until my head is absolutely splitting and blood starts to trickle down my nose. And as you said, that is part of the program. That's one of their fail-safe mechanisms.
Now, you talked about that you like to be able to prove a lot of things, at least for a lot of reasons. Credibility, for one thing, this is a very serious issue, and therefore it should be highly credible. And you claim that you can prove everything you have said, at least to some extent. And because you have a certain amount of hard physical evidence associated with this, it's basically easy to prove. I guess we could talk about that. What are some of the claims that you're prepared to prove, and that we, and how can we view it, and all this good stuff?
Well, I do have X-rays of the implant that's in my left hand, and I do have some of the MRI scans of the cranial implant. It quite frankly looks like a small grain of rice. And it's right in the center of the brain.
Wow.
And I do have that on film. One of the things that some people need to understand is that hard evidence is also a bullet in my gun. Once I turn that over and the world sees it, as it were, I lose that bullet. Now, I'm willing to give that bullet up when the time's right, and the time is almost right. And I don't mind telling everyone that you have seen two of the X-ray pictures.
Right.
And that is the implant that is in my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have different pieces of the hard evidence scattered around. I don't keep it in one place for obvious reasons. And what my intentions to do with all of that is, when the time is right, to invite certain people in the media, such as yourself, definitely, and a few other people, and just lay it out. So here it is. That's the best way I know to do it.
And I guess it's not all that prudent to give a date or anything, but in the near future, you would say?
In the near future, absolutely.
Now that would, because of the popularity of the Bourne Identity and so on, it's going to be palatable for the general public. That is to say that, you know, you could do the Good Morning America circuit at that point, because they would able to put the tagline, here's the real life Jason Bourne, you know, and you know, with this evidence, it could really go further, which is a shame, because we're now, and so you could really do the circuit, that, you know, that real circuit of like the people that aren't totally controlled by the system, as it were, anyway. What would prevent you from doing that?
My hearing. I'm rapidly losing my hearing. That was one of the reasons that I told you we need to do a couple of these rather quickly. It's almost measurable day by day of where it's going down. I suffer from something known as Wardenburg syndrome, which is a genetic hearing loss. And there is nothing that can be done for it. I'm not a candidate for the cochlear implant, which is something that Rush Limbaugh had, as a matter of fact, that restored his hearing. The problem with this is that it destroys the eardrum. And without the eardrum, you don't have hearing. So I have a very short period of time in which to make all this stuff happen.
Right.
But with that said, with the showing of the evidence, I don't have to hear.
Right.
I can just read facial expressions for that.
Right. but that is something that you would be willing to do, and that's something that you're,
yes,
that is your goal here, is to go in front of as many people as you can.
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, as I said, that hard evidence, I have been told, I do have an attorney who gives me some very good advice, and that's one of the first things he said when I decided to come forward, is don't show all your evidence. Hang on to it as long as you can. It's just like going into a trial. You never show all your evidence up front. And in this case, it's to protect certain people, not necessarily to protect myself, but to protect innocent people who are very close to me that can't protect themselves.
And this is absolutely important, because what the CIA did with whatever elements of this group or groups has grown exponentially. This system of trauma-based mind control is rampant, and it is controlling the entire system. And would you agree that you are you under the impression that most of the people basically at the heads of a lot of the organizations and that are running the show here are a part of the trauma-based mind control victims, I guess we could say?
To at least some degree, absolutely.
And it's therefore plausible that they are just churning out these children, are being at somewhere in some, you know, factory, I don't know, are just churning out these kids. And it's probably a lot not less like a factory, more like a common home in the suburbs. But
right.
And for that reason, it's very important that this information starts to come out.
Well, you know, I read something a couple of days ago that something like over 600,000 kids a year go missing in this country. And about one-third of those are from non-custodial parents. And that still leaves an incredible number. Well, they're going somewhere. And it is just so ironic. It's the most hideous thing that you can do to a child, is to take that kid and torture it the way we were tortured. And what to me is so disappointing in all this, I think what has been the biggest disappointment in everything that I have tried to do since I started coming forward is the non-caring, the non-interest in what is being done and how people like me were created. You know, it's all I ever hear is prove you can do this, prove you can do that. Well, guys, that's fine. That's great. I'll do that. But that's not my purpose. That's not the reason I started coming forward. I started coming forward with all this to stop all this stuff to do with children. And I'm extremely disappointed. You know, you and a couple of others are the only ones to even broach this subject. The mainstream media won't touch it. I mean, we had the CIA Family Jewels released a few weeks ago. And there was one page amongst all those, 800 pages, where the CIA admitted that they took children and used them for experimentation.
They did say now, children?
Yes, it says children. And not one mainstream media source touched it. That's sickening. That's disgusting.
Did they say it was associated with these kind of programs?
Yes, MK Ultra.
Oh, wow, okay.
It talked about the one little kid that they took in 1964.
So what do you make of this Family Jewel situation? I mean, it just didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Any ideas?
I think, as I've said before, in 1982 there was a war inside the intelligence community. So what you have now actually are two CIAs minus each side's individual rogue elements, two NSAs, two DIAs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One side is going one way, side B is going the other way. Both sides have their own agendas, and they're both working towards world domination, okay? But they're doing it in different ways. These two sides are warring against each other, which is good for us in a way. It allowed people like me to live a little longer. But it also, I think, allowed that page or those two pages to be shoved in there. I don't think they were meant to be in there. Now, with that said, the reason that I think the Family Jewels was put out, published, is because something bigger is about to come out. I think it's damage control before the fact.
I agree with you, too. And as it relates to your situation, I think that now, because of the popularity of the Bourne Identity and stuff, and I keep coming back to it, but, man, you have to – I know that you don't really like to watch movies because it triggers things and whatever, but, I mean, you got to know that movie is, like, talking about you. I mean, it's really, really, really too close to be a coincidence in a lot of respects it is. But it also makes it so that if you did come out, they could say, well, look, we admitted it. We admitted it that we did this and everybody was cool with it. So what if this guy's on Good Morning America? We already put this out, you know, you guys should know about this by now, you know?
Well, and here's the other thing. It's no secret that my phones are tapped. Any computer I'm on is tapped into. They read the emails and the phone calls that I get on a daily basis. Each time one comes through, they read it. They not only read the BS mail that I get, they also read the mail from people like me, all right, thanking me for doing what I'm doing, and some of them saying that they're willing to come out when the time's right. So they are feeling the heat. All right, they are feeling some pressure on them with all this right now. And that gives great credence to what you just said. If they start leaking some stuff out now, kind of like putting the frog in the water, put it in cold water, it sits there and slowly turn it up into it boils. It's kind of the same thing. By the time that frog's boiling, then the majority of the people in this country are already assimilated to it, and they're not thinking twice about it.
Right. And, you know, we're in the middle of a whole lot of crazy stuff going on too. But, you know, with whatever about to start, all kinds of who knows what. So I don't know. I think that in a lot of ways, it's just like you said, just damage control, really.
Damage control before the fact, and that tells me that something even bigger is about to come out.
Mm. Now, have you been contacted by a lot of people that are like you, and I guess you have probably also been contacted by, on the other side, some nefariousness? Any good reports and bad reports on that end?
Both, actually. One of the best that I ever had was from a Native American who emailed me saying that he was like me in a group very similar to mine, only one generation before. So that would have put him in the 50s. And for what he said is that it got so bad on him that he had to leave the country. And he said, you know, thank you for standing when I ran. Well, my friend, I don't think you ran. Okay, you did what you had to do to keep your sanity. We all do. I get emails like that, God, every day. I mean, I get emails every day concerning this. But about every day, I get one that's almost like that. Someone saying, thank you for this, thank you for that. And then they tell me their story, and some of them are so eerily similar that it's freaky. And the only thing that I can think of on those ends, you've either read and watched too many interviews and you're making it up, which in most cases, they're not. You can tell. You can just tell. Or they were actually in some of these programs.
Right. And it does appear that there is a one thing I've been contacted a lot of, too, by people that have been in the satanic ritual abuse / multiple personality thing.
Right.
I notice on your website it has some links to all that. So I guess you identify with that in that respect. I know that you don't have any clear memories of anything like that going on. But it appears that whatever this vast satanic network is uses the same principles to create the multiple personality slaves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God, I just drew a blank on what I was going to say.
But it definitely seems like the same principle, and there is just a huge network. At least it may be separate. They obviously could be using the same technology, but it is worthy to note that the Nazis definitely were a part of bringing both the occult and the technology of the mind control, trauma-based mind control itself here as well.
Absolutely. I listened to your guest last week. He was dead on.
Russ Dizdar?
Yes, he was dead on with that. Everything that I went through and the others went through and what we're seeing right now was started in Nazi Germany. Now, they got their information and their knowledge somewhere. Now, going back farther than that, I don't know. But I do know that it started in Nazi Germany. And after World War II, with Project Paperclip, they essentially just divvied up all these scientists. You know, some went to Russia, some came here, some went to South America, some went there, and they just started up all over again. It never stopped. And they had all the finances. I mean, come on, they had blank checks to do whatever they wanted to do, whatever they needed to do. And they started cranking people out. And what everybody needs, let me say this, and this is not for your listening audience, because they're intelligent, they're listening to you,
right.
Okay? You put things out there that nobody else will touch, okay? This is mostly for people who are, when they're listening to this, are rolling their eyes up in the head and say, you know, saying, oh, God, here he goes again. Listen, people. Here's what I want you to imagine. You're 6 years old. You're taken from your home. And whatever form of torture they use, it starts on you instantly. Now, the idea is to torture you till you can't tolerate it anymore. Now, it doesn't matter how much you scream, how much you cry, how much you beg, it doesn't stop. Now, once you reach a certain point, they give you a drug so that you cannot faint. You cannot black out. Once your body, your mind, and your psyche has reached a certain point, you have a choice. Split off to an alternate personality to survive or die. And sometimes I wonder if some of us who survived actually got the wrong end of the deal. Now imagine being put in a live or die situation at 6 years old. That's what I want you people to think about.
Now, one way to get the word out about this is, I think what we can do is, post it around the internet, that kind of thing. Just showing people that this exists and things of that nature. Is there any suggestion that you would make for people that do want to help people find out about this and everything? What can they do?
You said it. Post it all over the internet. I mean, you're going to get spammed for it. You're going to get slammed for it. I get it on a daily basis. But don't stop.
Right.
Okay, we've got the pressure on them. We've got the heat on them. Let's turn it up.
Right, and it's good to put maybe the Jason Bourne thing, because like I was saying, it just helps make a connection real quick. People don't have to, you don't have to sit here and explain about Project Paperclip and everybody, and to get them into the fray. You know, you can hit them with that, and then give them a link to the Project Camelot interview or to this interview. And I'm sure we'll provide that. You can go to nowheretorun.podomatic.com, nowheretorun.info, and it's there. But certainly other places, too. We'll get all that stuff. Robert, what is your website? And you just updated all that stuff, too, didn't you?
Yeah. The easiest way to get to mine, other than a link, is just go to wintersteel.com. Go through the intro page, get to the main page, scroll all the way down. You'll see who's who. Well, I'm Greyfeather. That's my Cherokee name is Greyfeather. Click on that, and that takes you straight to it. Or just Google my name on Google. My homepage is the first one.
Right on. And that's Robert Duncan O'Finian. How do you spell your last name?
O apostrophe F-I-N-I-O-A-N.
Okay.
Now, didn't you know, according to some people on the internet, that's a fake Irish name?
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I tell you, they certainly are can be vicious out there, and it's just a negativity that I don't think is able to be avoided. You know, I mean, you get it with so whenever I've noticed whenever you hit somebody with like cold truth, because this whole reality is so much different than what people think, and even the people that are accepting of that fact, you know, that reality isn't what the normal people think. There's just I don't know. It's I don't know what it is, but...
Well, look, be honest. Some of these people who are giving myself and some others a hard time via the internet, they're paid. They're getting paid to do what they do. That's fine. You guys, I feel sorry for you. If you think you're being paid and your masters are going to take care of you when it's all said and done, you're the first ones that they're going to turn their backs on. Okay? That's just a cold, hard fact, as you said. Some of them are just sheeple. It's much easier to deny something and swear up and down it doesn't exist than it is to admit and say, my God, this has gone on in my country, and face it and then deal with it. It's with a majority of the people that are flaming, it's the fact that they just don't want to have to deal with it.
Right.
And, at first you feel anger. I mean, come on. I sit there and I read Duncan O'Finn, Ultimate Idiot, and a lot of four-letter curse, The first thing that goes through your mind is anger. And then when you sit and you think about it, it's like, I feel so sorry for you people. You have your heads in the sand, and the first thing that's going to get singed is your butts.
Right.
I feel sorry for you.
Especially because this, this wasn't exactly a decision made lightly by you. I mean, not only to get these memories back, to have your whole world shattered, and then make the decision to do something about it, to try to prevent this from happening to literally children, you know, all over the world to takes a lot of courage to do that and then to have it. It's a shame, to say the least, because we've got a lot of work to do with this. And that's what, you know, the focus really should be here, is that we've got to focus to you know, and to not let that happen. Because, man, I tell you what, you know, just I'm sure you have too, just kind of build up a resistance to it. Like as a Christian, you know, believing all this stuff and, you know, trying to expose a lot of the propaganda, that the anti-Christian propaganda, you just get hit with this wall of just illogical anger. But it's something you just accept as part of the deal, you know. I mean, now
exactly.
it's just how the world is. So, but that doesn't mean, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's just, here's one of the amazing things that I found is, up until a few months ago, it was always Duncan Finn is a liar. He's making all this up. He's out for a buck. He's just trying to make money off of it. Well, guys, I'm so broke. You know, I haven't even broke even on that first book. Okay, see, I self published that thing, and in 5 years, I think I made about $100. You know, it cost me $300 to publish it. I was giving that thing away by the dozens, and that's fine. That's why I wrote it. I didn't write it to make money. You don't make money by writing a book. There hasn't been any money in writing straight novels for years. Okay. Well, the funny thing that happened is after The Family Jewels came out, well, my goodness, everything that this man had been saying for all these years, he's right there in black and white, admitted to by the CIA. Guess he's not lying. What do we do now? Well, now I'm psychotic, narcissistic, and it just goes on and on.
I've heard that, and I think that it's part of, they can't let, and I know some people are just stupid, but some of them, you know, they can't have the beginnings of this happen, because if what you say is true, then a lot of what other people have been claiming for a long time is true as well. Like the False Memory Syndrome Foundation built an entire propaganda machine based around the fact that people like you are crazy, and they are
right.
Saying false memories that are implanted generally by hypnosis or by their psychiatrists. It's just the most illogical thing in the world to say that all these millions of people who are claiming satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality disorder are all just insane, and haven't really been on any altar at some satanic ritual. They just have they accidentally saw Geraldo in the 80s. It's just the
right.
Craziest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, it is. It is. And like I said earlier, so many of these people they're getting paid for what they do. And those are the ones that I really feel the most sorry for. But I've got to tell you, and I'm going to say this with all honesty, when I read where someone posted that I suffer, that I'm a narcissist, I laughed about that for a good 20 minutes. I mean, I may be a lot of things, but I'm one of the type of people that gets up in the morning and has to go to the store and put the cap on and keep him combing his hair. And I got a lot of hair. So, you know, narcissist, no, sorry.
I was listening to another program. I believe it was Zeph Daniel, the interview where he was asking you if there was anything to do with the satanic ritual side of things. And you kind of alluded to the only thing like that you could really ever think of was the programming of the alternate personality. Was that right? Did I hear that right? Or was there anything to expand on that?
I think you did, because you alluded to it earlier that the mechanisms are pretty much the same. You know, trauma-based mind control is trauma-based mind control. It doesn't matter if you're being waterboarded, if you're using electricity, if they're just beating the crap out of you. It really doesn't matter. It's still the same thing. It's still a means to the same end. I can say this and make sense out of it. I honestly think that they go hand in hand. I'm not going to say that everyone who was put in my situation, i.e. the CIA/military complex to be what I was also put through a demonic ritual, that kind of thing. I do believe the two have gone together, that they have meshed, okay? But I don't think everyone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because the reason, and the reason I say that is I can only use myself as an example. Sorry if I sound narcissistic. Okay. But I love walking into a church, okay, and sitting down and listening and et cetera, et cetera. Well, someone who has been through what we were talking about, who goes through trauma-based mind control to allow a demonic walk-in to come in, might have a problem with that.
Right.
Now, I may be wrong. I'm not a, I'm not a theologian. But I have been to one exorcism in my life. I have witnessed one exorcism. It scared the crap out of me, too.
Yeah, I would imagine. Was that exorcism successful? Was there power associated with it?
It was a minor exorcism. It was before I started getting my memories back. I have a very good friend who was a Catholic priest. He was in his 60s then. And once a week, I went with him to the veterans' home and helped him say Mass and take communion to the people who couldn't get out of their beds and whatnot. We walked in to this room, and before he opened the door, he gave me the poster and told me to do nothing but make the responses. Don't take my eyes off the book. Don't speak. And we went in, and this room was ice cold. And here's this old guy there who was a World War II vet. He had to have been 90. And once the priest began to do the exorcism, the laughter that came out of this old man was nothing that I'd ever heard before in my life. And then the old man looked at me and says, "Oh, he brought you." Well, I took my eyes off the book and looked at him. The priest turned around and hit me in the jaw so hard he rattled my teeth. Well, not because I had teeth then. And he went on and did a the minor exorcism, and afterwards he told me it was to give the old guy some relief that he wasn't allowed to perform a full exorcism.
That's really, really strange.
It was. And why he put me in that situation is strange.
Yeah, that's odd, because as you probably listen to Russ Dizdar, you know, this isn't about rosaries or, you know, chants or books or nothing else. It's about one thing, you know, just the authority of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And little else. One thing that really makes me think about it is, the power associated with this, the superhuman strength and everything, that just seems like, you know, that just makes a lot of sense as far as the you know, something that could be triggered. Also, you had mentioned before in one of the interviews that it just, you know, I don't know, you would be able to elaborate on this a little bit, but it just almost feels like it's just something else, like it's somebody else with a whole new, a whole different thing, you know, that you can't just train a personality like that, you know. Is that something you can expand on?
I thought about that. After I listened to the interview with your guest last week, I did a lot of thinking about it all. I think there's merit to what you just said. Some people split off into an alternate personality, I think, can be easily trained, but not everyone. I really believe that. And stronger measures would be needed. So a walk-in, in that case, I feel would be an appropriate measure.
Mm-hmm. And he had mentioned also that, you know, something that sounded real familiar when he was talking about, like, somebody that he had encounters with people that had been MPD trained for the very same thing you had. And he said when they are triggered, you just got to just not be there. They're almost unstoppable. And that sounds almost identical to what you are when you are
right.
triggered.
Right. So no, I have had various people who have actually witnessed me switching to the alternate personality. And some of these were very big men, and it scared the crap out of them. I mean, when they stand there, when it's all over, and they look at me and tell me, I actually saw you physically grow in size, in stature. And I watched your arms bulge. I watched this. I watched your eyes change color. It's a little disconcerting, and you really start trying to do everything that you can not to let that alternate personality trigger.
Has that been difficult as of lately?
No. It's actually been getting a little bit easier. The way I've been training myself, the way I've been working out for the past few months, that helps me tremendously. I just turn it loose on the weights.
Right. Now, I was also thinking that, you know, it's interesting because I know that one of your the abilities, kind of in a case, the paranormal side of the abilities that you have is in different fight or flight situations, you would claim that you have ability to, I guess, throw energy and those kind of things.
Right.
It makes me think, you know, sometimes like some of the psychic pulse thing, the one that hit your house last week and before the interview, and the one, or maybe that was, I don't know what that was. We didn't talk too much about it, but also the one in the interview with Dave Corso on Project
right.
Camelot. You know, I mean, who's to say that's not coming from you, you know?
Well, that's absolutely right. During the Dave Corso interview, that was extremely strange. It wasn't as strong as the one that happened here last week. Are we still on?
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard a pop. What happened with Corso is the wall started popping, and you could almost visualize it coming towards us as it was popping the furniture, the TV, the stereo, and go right on across. And that's when the comments, I mean, Carrie made a comment, Dave made a comment. And I'll be able to say something up front right now. I don't watch, I've never watched them. If I do an interview, I never listen to it. I don't know why, I just don't.
Yeah.
But here, as we were going to do that interview last week, something came through this house with enough force to shake it. And it totally killed the power. For a while, and I had never encountered anything quite like that. I mean, it's a clear sky, there's no storm, there's no nothing, but the entire house shook, and then the power goes off.
Well, let's see here. Is there anything that you want to specifically talk about, anything that order of business that we should do that you need to have done?
Only one thing that I do, if you don't mind. It's not necessarily a rant or anything. There's no point in rants. There's something I'd like to clear up. And this is, I think, the crux of a lot of the internet bantering where I'm concerned. If I can talk about this guy, if I'm off base, just tell me and we'll just edit this part out.
Okay.
It has to do with George Knapp.
I don't know who he is, so.
Okay. He's a reporter from out in Las Vegas. Does co-host on Coast to Coast AM occasionally. What had happened is about 6 to 7 months before Bill and Carrie did that first interview with me, Mr. Knapp and I exchanged a couple of emails, and I was basically trying to get his help. I needed someone to help me get this out, to look at some evidence, to sit down with me and just run with it. And he basically blew it off. And I didn't feel put out about it. I didn't feel hard about it. That's fine. Well, within hours after Google put up the first interview with Bill and Kerry, he's emailing me, Bill and Kerry, everybody that he can, wanting to get involved, doing whatever he can to help, et cetera, et cetera. Well, by then, Judy Bell and I had signed up together, who is my agent slash advisor, and I got an attorney, et cetera, and we decided not to involve Mr. Knapp. And one thing led to another, and Mr. Knapp had people on his side, and I'm standing there alone, and some words started getting slung around, and we wind up where we're at right now. A little group of people out there from one of the websites, forums, seem to make it their business to follow me around on the internet and down talk or downplay anything that I put out. So, guys, get a life. Okay, I've got one. You go get your own. I'm done.
And so, what we can do? What can we expect as far as some of the information? What can I do as far as the X-rays and that kind of thing? Is that something that we should post yet, or we should just wait and hold off on that kind of thing? And how much of a push can we make, and all that good stuff?
I'm going to let you post those in a few days. I have to clear it with some people first. Okay. I'm going to let you be the first. As soon as I sit down, I'll be leaving back to Vegas in a few days, and I'll be sitting down with everybody, and we'll work all this out so that we can just, like I said, lay everything on the table. There it is. We'll invite certain people from the media, you, of course, Zeph, if Zeph wants to come, a few others. We'll invite some of the big media so they can get a good laugh. And there it is, cards on the table.
Mm-hmm. I would just suggest, just as much as possible to make it a just, an event to really push the the kids thing, and really push we can do a lot of stuff, with everybody posting this stuff around the internet. And posting the interviews and really with the, when we get the X-rays and all that stuff going, wow, we can really start
right.
Emailing some of the big media outlets, the ones that aren't controlled, the Alex Joneses and the all those people, and let it, and Rinses and everybody. I don't know. I mean,
right.
Rents may be controlled. I don't know. But,
I was going to say, I'm not too sure. As far as coast to coast goes, nah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they contacted me about a year ago. One of the producers, Lisa Lyons, I believe, and we had a conversation. And before the conversation was over, she was accusing me of being anti-American, for blaming all my problems on the government instead of taking care of them myself, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, I don't think we'll be talking anymore, Miss Lyons. Good day.
Right. That shows heavily. Got some serious skeletons in the closet, if I was to make a guess at it.
Well, they do. I met Art Bell once last year in Pahrump. Homeboy looked up and saw me standing there and ran like a scalded dog. All I was going to do was shake hands with him.
That's weird. That's weird.
He did. And it was, again, like I said, I very seldom say anything unless there was at least a witness there or whatever. Well, there was people with me. And they looked around at me and said, what'd you do to Bell? I didn't do anything to Bell. I just looked at him.
I don't have anything but circumstantial evidence about Art Bell and just stuff that I've thought. But a few of those things, like we've been doing some research here lately about what may be under the Great Pyramid, and just hearing he always told a story about how he had this personal tour of Egypt and how Zahi Hawass like laid him in the sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid, and I've learned later that that's what the emerald what basically can start you on like this astral journey to meet basically whoever's imprisoned under the pyramid. It's a long story, but
right.
Anyway, that's another show there. What else can we do? I guess that's we're actually looking at, we can make this a really clean hour show here. So,
okay.
And that way we can probably get a lot more distribution, a lot more people to listen to it. So I guess we can wrap it up here as far as this segment, and maybe we can do something here. And I need to talk to you and all that after this.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay, right. Everybody. Robert, you want to give out your website? It's wintersteel.com, and go to the bottom of the page.
Go to the bottom of the page, of the front page, click on my name, Gray Favre, and it'll take you straight to it.
You can also go to Nowhere to Run is the name of this show, and you can go to the nowheretorun.podomatic site or just type it in Google, and we'll have links to all that stuff on the show notes section of this show. Robert, thanks for everything. We're going to do everything we can, and I encourage everybody that listens to this show on a regular basis to pray for you. And I know that you could use it in the fight that you are no doubt about to embark on, the fight that you have been on for quite some time.
Yes, sir, I can, and I'll take any and all prayers anyone sends out for me.
All right, Robert. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.